Blog Talk Radio. Today is Monday, July 16th, 2018, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday, phenomenal people. Yes, you are phenomenal, just by virtue of being. Wouldn't the world be an awesome place if we truly did recognize and honor and admire that in everyone, everywhere? That would just be something, I'm telling you. That would be so wonderful to wake up to. Everybody walking and talking in their phenomenalness. Sounds so lovely. Well, I really do hope you do awaken to the fact that you are phenomenal, in case you didn't know that already, because you definitely and undeniably are. I want you to think so. I want you to know so. Say it loud and proud with me. I am phenomenal. Oh, doesn't that just make you feel wonderful, make me so excited? And no, it's not vain or arrogant or egotistical. It's a fact. You are phenomenal, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Well, I have a phenomenal guest today, and you know, one of the most phenomenal things about him is he is always helping others to see just how phenomenal they are, too. He's an educator, a professional development trainer and coach. He's an employee assessment expert. He's the author of several books, Work Makes Me Sick, The Combination for Success, and The Job Search Survival Kit. He's been a longtime friend and business associate of mine. He's Jeff Percival, President, Percival Enterprises. And we're going to be talking about the wonderful world of work, optimizing your A-game at work. Welcome, Jeff.
Silver, it's good. Oh, it's so good to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you know, it's always good to have you back, Jeff, because, you know, we've got those similar backgrounds and concerns in the, you know, workplace and corporate training and all of that. And I just, you know, those are things that are ongoing topics to talk about. So, you know, we could be doing this for the next 50 or 60 years.
That's fine on my side.
God, make it happen. That we're still
indeed
around and we can still make these connections. That would be phenomenal, wouldn't it? Well, you know, we're going to come out of the gates talking about a few things. I found a really neat website today that the website is goodtherapy.org, and I thought how interesting, because so many workplace issues do seem like they need more therapy than training and coaching. But we're going to approach it from that standpoint, because that's who we are in the whole scheme of things, our coaches and corporate trainers. So anyway, I just wanted to mention a few things that they they listed actually were some of the more problematic things that go on, and they have not changed over the years and years and years that you and I, Jeff, have been serving up what we do in the workplace. But I just want to mention them because, there is so much conflict and many toxic things that are going on. But I just want to mention them, not that we'll get to each one, but we definitely do need to get it out there. And what they listed were interpersonal conflict, communication issues, gossip, bullying, harassment, discrimination, low motivation and satisfaction, performance issues, and poor job fit. Well, I want to start with the poor job fit, because I know that you are an absolute top-notch expert in that area of employment assessment. And I'd just like for you to start the conversation off talking about the importance and the value of having a good job fit and how people and employers can go about making that happen.
Well, if there is a job fit in a hiring situation, everybody wins. First, we need to identify what are we talking about with job fit. You know, we have different personality traits which are hardwired into us around age 16. And when you're looking at job fit, we need to analyze the job. What behaviors are required for a person to be successful in a job? And then once we identify those behaviors, we can link them to different personality traits. So if when you're, you know, since it's done through an assessment process, you know, so if you have to take an assessment, truly be yourself. Because if it isn't a good fit for you and you try to fake it, number one, the assessment should be able to pick up on that, which may disqualify you. And number two, if it is a good fit, then you're going to be using your natural talents and abilities throughout the day on the job. If you're not a good fit and you try to fake it and you get the job, you're going to be stretching. You're not going to be using those natural qualities and attributes that you have on a day-by-day basis, and you're going to feel frustrated. So look for job fit. One of the things that I talk to my clients about is, yes, we want to look at the job, but we also then want to look at the team fit, the supervisor fit. And do you realize that more than 50% of the people leave their supervisor instead of the company? They're not leaving the company. They leave because of their boss. So supervisors and managers are so critical in that fit piece. When I'm invited into a company to look at a team, many times the supervisor or the manager will say, you know, you don't need to assess me. I just want to see what my team looks like. I said, well, don't you understand? You're the most important piece here, because that you're the pin that everything revolves around. And you want to know, is the supervisor and manager, do they have the qualities and attributes necessary to be successful in their job? So job fit is highly, highly important.
Jeff, do you feel that it would be a good idea? Not every employer does that. Not even some of the, the top companies that you would think would, you know, really make the effort to be sure that the people that they are seeking would be, you know, I don't know that ideal is the best word, but utilizing an assessment can reveal so many of the right things for making sure that there is success once that individual takes that job. You would think that there would be, it would become a standard, I guess, is what I'm going after. Since you are in that arena all the time, are more companies picking up on it? And did I just miss that memo? Are more companies picking up on it that this is something that we need to do as we bring people in?
Well, I've been in the assessment field almost 30 years, and when I first started, I'd say maybe 8 to 9% of the companies were using assessments. Now, 30 to 35% of the companies are using assessments, and it's growing.
That's still low.
You know, that's still low. That's right. That's right.
Okay,
so that's why I have to do my job more. I have to do my job better and get into more companies. Yes.
Part two to that question is, can we individually take it upon ourselves to, and God knows I'm sitting here trying to think of that assessment test that is available to individuals. You probably know it better than I do, and if not, it won't really matter. But I think if we Google it, we would probably find it. But isn't it a good idea maybe to analyze ourselves or assess ourselves to see what particular area of work or career we should be seeking? So many people,
well,
you said, go
yes,
ahead.
Yes, go ahead. Finish your thought.
So many people
are
not in the right spot. Maybe we should do the are seeking ourselves before we even approach new job searches or careers.
Well, you know, so many people end up in jobs that aren't a good fit because they want to grow within the company. They have kids. The kids grow. They need more clothes, more food, so they're looking for more money. So they keep moving into positions. I think the Peter Principle, you know, defines it as, you know, growing to the highest level of incompetence. You know, we have all these talents and abilities, but we take on more responsibilities because we want more money and we want to grow within a company. So unfortunately, that is true. But yes, there are assessments out there that you can take a look at yourself and see what are those personality traits that you have. What are those qualities and attributes that are hardwired into you? But then realize, too, you can also learn, for example, for myself, when it comes to rules, I am a rule bender or a rule breaker. So I know that about myself. That's the reason I have an accountant. That's the reason I have different people who were the rules are very important. They follow the rules for me. So you can look at your talents and abilities and then start looking at, all right, what I really want to be doing. What, you know, when I'm working in a job on a day-by-day basis, so many people I've seen apply for a job based upon the title rather than looking at what is going to be asked of me in that job. That is, I think that's a critical piece, especially for job seekers.
Well, I think that would be the first step in bringing your A game is to assess, either do it yourself, or when you're stepping into an environment where the potential is for a new job or a level up or whatever the case may be, to do the assessments to see if it's going to be a good fit, because that's like wearing a shoe that's too big or too small.
Thank you.
It just won't work either way.
You've attended too many of my workshops. You know that's what I use as an analogy. If the shoe fits, they wear it. If they don't, if it doesn't, they won't. And that's that's really critical. Everybody has a pair of shoes that they love, looks really great, but then you wear them for too long and they hurt, and so you just don't wear them. And that's what happens on a job. I've seen people retired on the job because they wanted to stay in the company, but they really weren't doing the job and there was no accountability. So, yes, you want to find a job that fits. That way you can really run. So let's put it back on a positive frame. You know, if you've got a great shoe, then you can go out dancing in it. You know, you can run in it, and you can really make some traction within the company.
Let's talk about another A going on into the workplace for people who are already there. Maybe they don't want to move as far as, seeking out another company. Maybe they're really with a great company that they really do like, but there are things going on inside. What would you say, Deb, would be the most helpful things for, here's another A, adjusting your attitude within the workplace? Do you have any ideas about how people can go about doing that?
Absolutely. You're in a company, you see changes going on, you're not really happy with, but you love the company. Find someone who can mentor you. Find someone that you trust and that's positive, and start asking the questions of, where is the company going? Where do you think I could grow within the company? As I tell all employees, you want to become as valuable to the company so that they can't live without you. So you may have to learn some new skills. You may have to offer to take on additional responsibilities that you can handle, that you're wired for. There comes that language again. That you're wired for and that you can do well. How can you become such an asset that they would never want to get rid of you, and no matter what kind of changes go on within the company?
Making adjustments definitely is critical.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
The workplace.
You know, the days of people working 35 years for a company and retiring are no longer. You know, so you need to grow as companies grow, and information alone. You know, I forget. It used to be hundreds of years before information doubles. Now it's doubling in a year or less than a year. So there's new things coming out. You know, look at computers and how much they can do. And, you know, are you keeping up with that? Are you able to operate? Are you able to work within that structure of change? Because that's the only constant in today's world, change.
And the workplace is ever evolving, and that's something that people might want to just to take on and embrace. again, the right attitude, because there's really not much you can do about it. Workplaces are trying to grow. They're trying to do business better. They're trying to provide better services. And so they are evolving at a rapid rate. And I believe that most companies are probably trying to keep their employees well-trained, well-informed, but that's not always the case. So you have to bring in an attitude that is flexible, an attitude that is willing to make adjustments, and that's full of frustration. Jeff, you know that, I know that, because we've heard that from employees over and over and over and over and over again. One of the things I would say to the company and to those supervisory levels is to make sure the employees are informed. A lot of times they feel like they're left out of the loop, and then all of a sudden when the overall change is made, then everybody is, you know, expected to do a real tap dance around that and know what to do. It's really better to keep them informed in small amounts of information so that when the big change actually is implemented, it's not so very hard to wrap their heads around it. So as the changes take place, you know, there's, you know this too, Jeff, that there's changes that take place and then they have to undo change because it wasn't working. There's all kinds of things, and those things are so absolutely normal, but it's very hard on the people who work there. So the best thing we can do on any given day as an employee is show up willing to have the adjustment, make the adjustments that we need to. And sometimes it just means keep doing your job, listening, keeping your eyes peeled, doing what you need to do, but definitely stay on the cooperative level with getting things, you know, keeping things, all the moving parts going the way that they should.
But you said something critical a little bit earlier when we were addressing this. You're talking about communication. You know, business, in a business relationship, similar to a personal relationship, communication is critical. And keeping people informed, making sure that information is flowing to and from, not just, you know, the flow down, you know, the drip down from the above. And this is important for, you know, employees have to come with the attitude of, you know, being open to, all right, let's see what we need to be doing today. You know, because if you go in with the attitude, oh, I hate doing this, I hate doing this, well, guess what? You're going to hate the job. You know, so, but supervisors have to come in with the attitude of, boy, I have some really great people here. How can I utilize them and how can they grow within the company? So attitude is critical on both sides of the coin.
For sure. Well, there's two more I hope that we can get in. The first A, the last of the two A's that I wanted to talk about is being action-oriented. And here's what I mean, and I know also, Jeff, you know these statistics, and they have not changed much over the years. There, and I'm going to ballpark them, but there are about 30% of the entire workforce over all industries that show up as real go-getters, people who are really in it to win it, people who really want to get things done, who won't really want to shine like superstars at work, 30% across most every industry. And then you have another 50 or 60% that need to work. They have families, they have bills, they have all kinds of other reasons that they are in their jobs, but it's not, they're not the ones that are showing up really putting their nose to the grindstone or, you know, the elbow grease issue and all. They're not those. They're working and they're getting work done, but at a different type of pace and a different type of consideration about work. They're showing up because they're going to get a paycheck. And it's not meant to be something that I'm saying that's condescending. These are just things that statistics show by different surveys and things that have been taken over the years among workers. And then you've got this bottom 15 to 20% who really don't want to work and somehow can get away with it and still get paid. That's what statistics show across the board, across most industries, all industries. Here's where I'm going with that. To be action-oriented means you step up to the plate. You go in to bring your A game to work regardless. You go in with the attitude to get things done. A lot of times there's so many other, again, I mentioned earlier about moving parts that can kind of interfere and you feel like that person would do this, or if this was this way, or if certain something was happening, I could get my job done. My theory is this, and I hope you can hear me, people. I don't let anybody or anything stop me from getting my job done. I don't care what their issue may be. If it's going to fall back on my shoulders of responsibility, somehow, some way, I'm going to figure out to get what I need to make happen done. Not by insulting anybody or criticizing or complaining, because I know step by step, strategically, what I need to make happen. So I have to call somebody, contact somebody, email somebody, go visit somebody, whatever I need to do to put the pieces together to make sure my actions are bringing the A game to work. That's what has to happen. So don't let other people slow you down. Don't let other people be what you may feel is the blame. Handle your business. You've heard that term, I'm sure, so many times. Handle your business. Do it because you want to shine like a quality employee. Do it because you want to look at that certain look. Do it because you want them to see the kind of quality individual you are, what your ethics and values are like. Do it for that reason. That's what I refer to as action-oriented. What would you like to say about that, Jeff?
Well, in life, you only control two things and two things only in life. Number one, what you think, and number two, what you do. So, you know, when you show up on a day-by-day basis, you know, showing up is the first piece. Now, what's the quality of what you do? That's up to you. And that comes from the first one of what you think. If I'm thinking, oh, this is just a job, I'm just here for a paycheck, all right, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking, boy, I'm really grateful to the company for, you know, having me as an employee, you know, that brings another level of action. And then, as you say, kind of put that alpha out there and say, all right, how can I be the best I can be in this job? And that's really when you're demonstrating your value to the company, and that's what you want them to see, is that you are so valuable that they want to keep you and promote you to your highest level of competence. You know, you talked about the 30, the 50, and the bottom 15. When I'm working with employers, I frequently ask the question of, well, what kind of turnover do you have? And my favorite answer from this one employer was not enough. And he, you know, this particular employee realized that, you know, some people, there's a thing called alpha grading. When you are looking to bring somebody on, all right, you may have the top performers in the 30%. You may have the steady Eddies and steady Edies in the 50%. Now, how can you, if someone leaves, because quite honestly, that bottom percentage will leave more often than the others, how can you now alpha grade? How can you turn that person into a, look for a steady Eddie and steady Edie? And if so, one of the steady Eddies or steady Edies leaves, how can I find a top performer that will add to the company? So always looking to grow. But it goes back to the attitude of the employers. Well, if I just need a warm body, that's all you're going to get. Versus, mm-hmm. I need someone who can really be an asset to this company.
You know, Jeff, you just took literally the words out of my mouth, because my last one was, how can you be an asset to the team?
Oh, man. Hey, I didn't even see your notes. How about that?
No, you didn't. But that was the last A. How can you be an asset to the team? Would you like to?
Oh, absolutely. Well, this goes back to, you know, communication. You know, communicate with your supervisor. Communicate with the other team members. You know, what are we looking to do? What do we want to make happen? Do I have those qualities and attributes? And if not, can I develop some? You know, I talked about the hard mm-hmm. wiring, but yes, you can still develop other talents and abilities beyond your hard wiring. So look to be an asset, because once again, if you are an asset to the company, they will respond accordingly, and they'll keep you, they'll give you promotions, they'll give you raises. But you have to show and demonstrate that you are that asset.
The one thing I'd like to add to that, and I always use these analogies when I was in front of my groups. When you look at a team, let's, you know, use basketball, and you see how they strategically will get to the basket, to make the basket. You've got several people out there working on that, and protection and the blocking and all kinds of other things that go on within getting just that movement down the court. Think of that in terms of work as well, people. You're working together, and sometimes we have to use instincts the same way we do, they do, but often we just use our skill sets to make that happen, to be successful, to make sure the ball goes into the basket. If you can remember those things and really begin to abide by them, Jeff and I have said a lot, none of this information is really new, but the thing is, it as I've mentioned many times on the shows when we've done things that are offering training, these things really do work. If you apply them, if you can wake up in the morning feeling phenomenal, start walking phenomenal, talking phenomenal, using the key strategies that Jeff and I have talked about today, you really can bring your A game to work. It's not something that happens overnight. Skills are developed. Coaching is something that you might have to do for yourself every day. I believe in reading stuff and listening to, motivational material and things like that, whatever you need to do. But you can reset your mindset so that you are having a better day at work, a better lifetime of work, and bringing the A game the way you need to the team. Jeff, we're about down to about 4 minutes, so if there's anything that you'd like to add, please do so, and then tell people how they can reach out to you.
I just want to reemphasize the fact that, everything that you're saying is right on chord with me. And you want to grow within a company. You want to, even if it's your company, you need to continue to grow. An employee cannot just go in and say, oh, I'm not doing my job. All right, because you want to become that asset that we were talking about. And the only way to do that is to grow with your talents and abilities within the company. If you are looking for an assessment to look at your own talents and strengths, feel free to contact me and I can direct you to probably the best tool that you want to look at for yourself based upon what you're looking for. And my contact information, I've simplified it. It's jeff.percent@gmail.com. And feel free to contact me, reach out to me, and I'll be happy to give you the direction that I think would help you the best.
And I'd like to add, if anyone who is listening that's a professional looking, or if you are in a company, Jeff and I have actually done training jobs together, and so I want to just endorse him greatly for the expertise that he does bring to groups. It's definitely educational and empowering. So reach out to him. I'll include your email address after we're off the interview, Jeff. But I want to thank you again for sharing your information and knowledge with my audience today. It was great. Thank you so much for taking
Silver,
the time.
Oh, Silver, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. Well, I look forward to touching base a little bit later, just to kind of go over again things that we just talked about. But you have yourself a great day, sir, and I appreciate all that you brought to the show today.
I'm honored by your words. Take care.
All right, you too, sir. And I want to thank all of you, too, as well, for hanging in there with me. I do appreciate your listenership, and I would really love it if you'd share with your friends on social media what I do here. As I say, it's always informational, it's empowering, it's enlightening, it's educational. I'm always going to put something out there that's going to be fun, fabulous for you to take away something from that will heighten your day or your life or your attitude in some kind of way. So thank you again for being here. Thank you for listening. I look forward to talking to you again next time. In the meantime, be good, be blessed, and be awesome.